And so, being that it is November, I think in every ministry present, November is the season for gratitude, and we're not any different. And so, the name of the talk is The Altar of Gratitude. And I think, if you're similar to me, I think we all grew up with our parents training us, telling us that no matter what, if someone did something nice to you, you say thank you. It just became a habit. You really didn't know that what to do or why just because your parents said. It was a nice thing to do. They did something nice, so you say thank you. And you're just trained that way. It becomes rote. But hopefully as adults, we come to realize that being grateful is actually more than just something that is rote, something that you say because someone did something. It becomes a spiritual practice. It becomes something that actually the mere sense and the mere ability to be grateful and to say thank you on a spiritual level, then on a physical level, changes you. So I bring to you the word altar. It's an interesting word. The word altar actually means to make something different, to change something to something else. I'm going to tell you about how being thankful, being grateful, actually changes you, alters you. The word altar is also used for something that is, in Christianity, a place where sacrifices were made. And if you're like me, you have an altar, a place where you pray. And all this is very factual because in many ways, I want to show you how you can also use your own altar, not only the physical altar that you might have in that special place of prayer, but most importantly, the altar within your own temple. And when we speak about your temple, we're talking about your body temple. We're talking about the sanctuary within your own soul. And so we're talking about creating a gratitude practice which ultimately changes your soul. How? By making sacrifices. Sacrifices of the animal instincts, those erroneous ideas, those animal consciousness, and those error thoughts that we humans bring to the table at all times. Coming to the altar and gratitude training and saying thank you is the simplest way to wipe out any of those thoughts and to evolve in a greater sense. So Charles Fillmore writes, Christian metaphysicians find that words that express thanks, gratitude, and praise release energies of mind and spirit. And their use is usually followed by effects so pronounced that they are quickly identified with the originating words. These effects bring greatness. So your spoken words, your thoughts of gratitude are so precious, are so potent, that they will immediately bring forth the truth of what you are thankful for. It goes on to say that before he, speaking of Jesus, broke the miraculously multitude loaves of fishes and bread to feed the 5,000, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. Now, his former wife Myrtle says, if giving thanks has in the past increased meager supply into superabundance, the thing can be done again. Elijah did it. Jesus did it. The same power is latent in you. Why not bring it forth? Why not bring it forth? So with that, let us look at the example that Jesus brought. And with the cutting open of the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. Now, know something very interesting. This story is in all 4 Gospels. I think that's pertinent, that this story is so interesting, so metaphysically rich, that it's in all 4. The birth of Jesus is not even in all 4 Gospels. And so this is a miraculous story because within it has pearls of truth. And so I'm going to read bits of the story. So the first part of the story talks about Jesus and his crew, his disciples, are heading off to a different land. They're setting sail. Now, at this point in time, Jesus is a superstar. I mean, think of any large spiritual leader. I mean, he's the Thich Nhat Hanh. He's the Joel Osteen. He's just got it going on. people know him. He's had these truths. He's been seen all over the place. And like a superstar, they see he and his crew. And by land, they start rushing. They start running because they're hungry for this information, more information that he's giving. They are so hungry for this information that they beat he and the disciples to this land, to this hillside. For us, that means that as our humanity is so hungry for the truth of who we are, so hungry to be fed and to know the Christ consciousness within us, because Jesus represents the manifestation of Christ consciousness, that divine idea of God made manifest so that we can have a joy-filled life. And when Jesus was in his prime, people knew that. He fed them the words of truth. And so again, they went running. And so with that, he spoke to them. They were going somewhere else, but he saw the masses. And he said, sit, let me teach you. And after a while, the Bible starts saying, by this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. They said to him, this is a remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside to feed themselves. Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And so he asked, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Can you imagine that? Now, right now, you have hundreds and thousands. You're on this hill, and there are just tons of people that you can see all around. And you have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And if I were his disciple, I'd be like, you know, dude, I think you should listen to us and send them on their way because we only have 5. But Jesus did something different. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to the heavens, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Jesus then directed them to have all the people sit down in the groups of the green grass. So they sat down in hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that were divided up, his disciples distributed them, and they all ate. They all ate and were satisfied. Let me say that again. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. So let us break that down into metaphysical terms that we can move through. So what does the 5 represent? Numbers are very special in the Bible. And metaphysically speaking, the 5 and 2 hold something precious. So the 5 actually is very simple to metaphysically interpret Fillmorian. This is all Fillmorian metaphysics, i.e. Fillmore kind of opened himself up, and through his teachings, he had a sense of what God was speaking to him. And what he said was 5 was easy. There are 5 senses. There are touch or sound or smell, all that, all the human stuff, all the humanness, all the worldly things, unless there's another symbol that shifts it up. If you have this other symbol, it denotes change. Well, we do have this other symbol. And what we're talking about are 5 loaves of bread. And so now we're talking about change because the bread is universal substance. It's the Christ body. And when we break up the Christ body, it's a stirring in action, the divine idea within our consciousness to move forth, to manifest, to move us and to evolve into something more, to move from our humanness to our spirituality, which is also what the 2 means. The 2 is that moving, that's moving from spirit and moving to spirituality. It's the opposites of each other. It's that spiritual. And the I think I'm moving a little bit too much between the fan and myself. No, I'm done with those. Thank you. I'm going to just throw them on the floor myself. 2 is material and spiritual. Fish represent divine ideas. And I don't know how many of you have really read the Bible or even look at the stories, but the symbolism of fish is used quite a bit, not only in this story, but quite a bit in the Bible. And it represents those divine ideas being made manifest. So when we're talking about the loaves and the fishes, we're talking about creating shifts and changes within our own consciousness so that we can capture the divine ideas that are waiting out there for us so that we can move from a material realm to more of a spiritual realm. So that we can move to, in this time of Thanksgiving, to a moment of, as we go into Advent, a shift and change so that we can evolve into the Christ nature, so that we can give birth within ourselves to newer depths of our own spirituality. And so how did he do this? He looked up to heaven. Now, in traditional Christianity, we think of heaven as somewhere up there. Even I did that when I said, look up to heaven. Heaven is within you. We are taught that this temple, as I said earlier, is innately within you. And heaven or hell is created by our thoughts and our feelings. And so when Jesus, the Christ manifested, looked to the heavens, he looked within the truth of himself. He looked within his own Christ nature to elevate him up. And he did that knowing the truth of himself and just said, thank you. Because the truth of who we are, the truth of what this world really is that God is great. And God has created wonderful substance. God has created goodness for each and every one of us, as each and every one of us. And we should be in awe of that. No matter what is going on in our lives, just to say thankful and to be grateful for it is all we need to what? To continue to sacrifice the animal instincts, the animal consciousness, those things that we want to get rid of in our lives, those erroneous thoughts, by merely saying thank you and recognizing and be grateful for what we have, not for what we want, but for what we already have, brings us into a place where we can enjoy what we have. No longer craving and trying to get through something. Because so many times, especially in the Western world, our thankfulness and our gratitude for our achievements are fleeting. We get something, we accomplish something, we say, woohoo, thank you, we celebrate it, and it's over with. And then we're suffering again because we're looking for that next fix. But the gratitude isn't about that fix. The gratitude is enjoying what you have now. Gratitude is the intention to count your blessings every day, writes Timothy Miller in his book, How to Want What You Have. Gratitude is the intention to count your blessings every day, every minute, while avoiding, whenever possible, the belief that you need or deserve different circumstances. Now, I know that when we're going through some trials or tribulations, of course, it is human to want some different circumstances. But the best way to get out of that is not to continue to magnify those lack things, our pains and our ailments within our body. It is a matter of looking at what we have, the greatness and the beauty that is already in front of us, and saying thank you for that. And in the thank you and in the gratitude and placing that in the altar, not only in your own altar, but the altar of your soul, your inner altar within your own temple, you will then see your life isn't as bad as when you put the spotlight on what you think you should have or what you could have. All of a sudden, you find that you really are blessed because it's already there. God continues to give you so much. We are the ones who blind ourselves with our fear and lack of limitation. But once we say, thank you, God, and notice also when you say or someone near you says, thank you, think of these two words as a signpost of the spiritual world. They're a signpost of God's goodness that is already within you. I love what Emily Cady says. She says, speak words of thanksgiving in this innermost presence that it has heard and answered, that it does now come forth into visibility. There is something about the mental act of Thanksgiving that seems to carry the human mind far beyond the religion of doubt into the clear atmosphere of faith and trust, where all things are possible. Now, she got that last snippet from Matthew 19:26, which states, Jesus looked at them, being the disciples, and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So as you go through your day, no matter what the circumstances are, look at them through the soul of your altar in a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude. I know it's Monday coming up and people are like, "I don't want to go to work." Look at the work process, no matter what the situation is. Being grateful, finding something grateful in that, in the world, in the news, in everything, and watch your life from inside out shift and change. Continue to build your altar of gratitude, because it need not be stagnant. It needs to be shifting with every new components of gratitude and thankfulness and being in awe with spirit, so that you can continue, so we can all continue to grow. And so if you need some additional help, I invite you to look at our, on the bulletin, in the bulletin, our affirmation for this week. Let's read it together, all right? I give thanks for the healing and renewing changes in my life and for the many blessings that I have received. Let's breathe that in. That feels good. And let's say it together one more time. I give thanks for the healing and renewing changes in my life and for the many blessings that I have received. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.